Hello and welcome to Long Distance Book Club, where two book lovers express their feelings on their book of the past. I am one half of your host, Sam Cabrera-Dixon, and Sam couldn't make it today, but normally together we comb through book talk, combine our to-be-read lists, and now we intend to make our way through them one book at a time. We'd love for you to come along with us and join the discussion. Today I am joined by Arthur Howell of the Two Cents Critic Podcast. Arthur gives reviews and recaps for books, movies, and TV shows, inviting a whole range of special guests to join in on the fun. Welcome to the pod, Arthur.
Hello, hello. Thank you for bringing me on here. I'm really thankful to have this opportunity.
Of course. Oh, my God. I mean, the listeners know because I always let everybody know I'm coming on your podcast. We just haven't had the opportunity to reciprocate recently. So very good to have you on finally. Yeah, so let's get into it. The book of the moment for today's episode, it feels weird because Sammy reads these parts, not me. So I'm like, oh no, I don't know how to read. I know how to do my parts really well.
It's a whole change up.
The book of the moment for today's episode is The Bad Muslim Discount, a novel. Who's the author? Oh my goodness, I can't believe I didn't put that. By Syed, what's his last name?
M. Masood.
M. Masood. Thank you. Just a forewarning for those of you listening, this is not a spoiler-free zone. We will be discussing this book in all of its glory, which of course includes revealing the ending. Masood grew up in Karachi, Pakistan, and has been a citizen of three countries, living in nine cities. He says his nomadic multicultural life has taught him human beings are the same everywhere, and the theme of this fundamental human unity informs everything I write. Masood studied English literature at the University of Toronto, then attended the William and Mary School of Law. Outside of writing, Masood currently practices law. Masood currently lives in Sacramento with his two children, ages 2 and 4. Before we jump into discussing our own thoughts and feelings regarding this book, I'm going to go ahead and read through the blurb on the back of the book for the sake of contextualizing it. Quote, it is 1995, and Anwar Faris is a restless, rebellious, and sharp-tongued boy doing his best to grow up in Karachi, Pakistan. As fundamentalism takes root with the social order and the zealots next door, attempt to make Islam great again, his family decides not quite unanimously to start life over in California. Ironically, Anwar's deeply devout mother and his model Muslim brother adjust easily to life in America, while his fun-loving father can't find anyone he relates to. For his part, Anwar fully commits to being a bad Muslim. At the same time, thousands of miles away, Safwa, a young girl living in war-torn Baghdad with her grief-stricken conservative father, will find a very different and far more dangerous path to America. When Anwar and Safwa's worlds collide as two remarkable, strong-willed adults, their contradictory, intertwined fates will rock their community and families to their core. Without any further ado, let's get into it. So just before we start, we're going to go ahead and go through some trigger warnings. This book was not on the trigger warning website that we usually use. If you can remember any outside of the ones I'm about to say, let me know. And of course, we'll mention it before we start talking about something. Trigger warnings for physical and domestic abuse, Islamophobia, death of a parent, I guess also gun violence.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Murder. Yeah.
Did you mention this kind of? I feel like a bit rapey.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. No, yeah. You're right. No, you're totally right. Totally, totally right. I like took these off of somebody's like online blog review. So okay. I was like, I don't know. So I just have been seeing this book around. It's making the round. I feel like I haven't seen it everywhere, but I've seen it a lot on Twitter lately. And I wanted to cover it because it had a cool cover. I did not realize it was written by a man until we started, until I was writing the script for this a few days ago, it was fine. I'm not complaining about that this time, but I just thought it was funny considering the fact that when I was on your podcast, literally like 2 weeks ago, I mentioned how I don't read anything by men. And I was like, oh no, the irony. I just said this to your listeners and now you're going to be on this podcast.
Yep, it's a funny little irony there, but
I know.
I feel like it's okay though. I feel like it didn't really, I don't know, like And I'm reading this as a man myself, so maybe, I don't know.
Right.
But I feel like it was okay. Like, it didn't particularly come across as being like, oh, this is definitely a man writing this.
No, totally. I agree with you. I was nervous about that, but I was like, oh, okay, I felt pretty confident a third of the way in that I was like, okay, he doesn't necessarily write women like most men write women. So I'm good with this for now. So I reading Masood's little background, I thought that was so funny. Like, okay, things make sense now. He went to William and Mary School of Law. He's practicing law. So I felt like now there must be a bit of, you know, his own life really influencing Anvar's character. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's that element of relatability connecting with the character.
And what, yeah.
In order to flesh it out a bit more, try to make the character more, you know, closer to real life.
Definitely. Definitely. I really thought that almost all of the named characters in the book were really fleshed out in a really interesting way. Also, I know your podcast is so structured. Ours is just not. So I'm gonna jump all over the place. So right now I want to talk about characters. So I guess that's what we're going to do. I felt like I don't know, somebody said once that every time an author names a character like by name instead of just saying, oh, there was a woman over there or whatever, right? They're usually about to serve a purpose. So when characters get named and then they don't necessarily serve a purpose, it kind of bugs my brain because I'm like, okay, you didn't give me enough to make them a real person in my head, and they're not, you know, they're not coming back, so I didn't really need to know their name kind of vibes. Anyways, this was one of those things where I felt like a lot of the side characters, they all had a role somewhere, right? Like in the beginning, yeah, we know, yeah. Or not beginning, but probably about halfway through, we know Anvar is helping pass out flyers for that guy's food truck, the like junk in the trunk guy who's definitely probably a white supremacist on the weekends, you know?
Oh yeah. When he popped up, I was like, oh yeah, there's definitely some very strong like right wing vibes here.
Yeah. You know what's really funny is I love looking at our bad reviews on our podcast reviews on Apple Podcasts, because I can't see them on Spotify, but I can see them on Apple. And I love, like, because, you know, people only review things and leave a review if it's really good or really bad, right? Like their experience with it. So we only have a couple of really bad reviews out of, like, in comparison to our other reviews, but
which is good, yeah.
One of our very bad reviews is this person who hates it when we talk about politics on the podcast, which I think is so funny because I was a political science major and I work in law. Like, I don't know what you expected, but you're getting that. Anyways, we're gonna be talking about politics a bit today because that was one of the core themes throughout the book. But every time I start talking about politics, I think about that one reviewer. Sit this one out, buddy.
That's so funny. I have yet to get a review like that actually for our podcast, which is strange, really? Because I feel like Two Cents Critic, I do bring out politics and quite often on the show.
Yeah.
Just even like what I'm covering, like queer content or just mentioning current events, or just like, hey, these current events are pissing me off.
Well, I just always think it's funny when people make the politics remark, because it's like, I always look for like the context of when that was posted. Like that one review was like right after we read and posted on Prince Harry's book Spare. Like, of course we're gonna fucking talk about politics. That's what it's about.
What are you thinking?
We're talking about.
Which I haven't even read that yet. But
recommend it. Recommend it. Go ahead and listen to our episode after you read it. Anyway, so thinking about that person. Why did I bring that up?
I don't remember. Because
we were talking about the white supremacist food cart guy. No, but so I really felt like all of the characters who were named did serve a purpose, which so that like satisfied that little bar of, okay, we're getting characters who are doing things.
Well, yeah, so I mean, I feel like a side character who kind of pops out to me specifically is Anvar's mom, who I feel like she definitely was like, you know, she's his mom. She's very, she is very devout, and she's very stern with him, and she wants him to stick with his own religion. Mm-hmm. But you can also feel her trying to be a good mom also in the end. You know, you can feel her genuinely loving him, you know, even when he really pisses her off and he's being such a little smart mouse.
I loved Anvar's family so much. Like, I thought the little details in, like, to show the heart of those characters, I really appreciated. Like, the way that when he was a kid and up until, you know, later when he's an adult, the way his dad, like, would acknowledge that they did something wrong as a child is to take them to the ice cream place and to, like, get them their least favorite flavor. I thought that was so cute. I just thought that was such a cute little detail that was, that made, like, the character of Anvar's dad more real to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Yeah, just, yeah, but yeah, like what I was saying before, maybe more real life, maybe more like real life, which also does make me wonder, was this a little detail that Masood maybe took from his own life?
Mm-hmm. Perhaps, yeah. It felt very like, oh, that was so real. I also felt the same. I mean, I didn't like Safwa's family necessarily, but like her brother was fine, I guess, and her mom. But I knew from the, like, her first chapter, like, that Dr. Youssef was her dad.
Yes, yes.
Did you get that there?
Okay, so I did not, but once it did, once the reveal came up, then it was like, oh, wait, now I'm looking back, I'm realizing, I'm like, wait, I should have picked up on this a lot earlier. But at first, no, I did not realize it.
My notes from that first chapter of Safwa's is, this Dr. Youssef guy has the same eyes as her? That's sus. Her mother is sick and Dr. Youssef comes to visit and says, don't tell your dad? Extra sus. Like, I was like, this was really sus. I don't know.
I know. I should have detected it, but I didn't. But oh well.
It was very interesting, I think, because Safwa and Anvar don't meet until, like, a long ways into the book.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I don't know, like, what, 30%, 40% into the book?
It's, like, it was, like, more than that, I think. It was almost over 50, I believe.
Okay. Ooh. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. It's an interesting way for the book to be formatted.
Mm-hmm.
Structured, where it's, like, you do have two main characters. And it's not even, like, there's a romance, but, like, a real romance between two of them. Even though I think they do sleep together at least once, right?
Oh, multiple times, yeah.
Okay, yeah, okay. Because it's funny, when I was reading this book, I was like, wait, they did sleep together, right? Because it's kind of very implicitly what.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like, if you were to just skim over it, you might just pass over that whole element of the relationship.
Yeah, it was very much subtly hinted at, like, oh, she needs to pick up her, like, put her clothes that back on that have been strung over a chair in his room. Yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I guess. Ooh, okay, get it, I guess.
Yeah, sure. But other than that, not really a romance between them. It's much more between Anvar and Zuha.
Right, which I thought was such an I just think the way that everything, like, was so, I don't know, just brought back to something that happened in the beginning. I love when books do that on, like, more than one thing. And I feel like this was really one of those things where it was like, okay, we got, like, either a lesson in the beginning or, like, a small anecdote or, like, a little one-handed comment that is going to come back later. Which I feel like in a lot of just normal fiction books, that doesn't really happen. Like, we don't really see that a lot, or at least not done well, maybe. But I thought this was done really well. Like, the way we got to see Anvar fall in love with Zuha in the beginning. And then, like, through college and their breakup, and we see him, like, trying to find a way without her as a constant in his life. And then I knew right away, right, when the second that his mom starts saying, you got to come to what was his brother's name? Amir?
Amir,
to,
yeah.
Yeah, to Amir's engagement party to this really nice girl. You have to come.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no, I know where this is going.
now that I picked up on. I was like, oh, yeah. I see where this is going, and then it happens, and it's just like, oh no, now we have the love triangle. Which, by the way, I do think, for some reason, the love triangle trope in this book did not bug me as much as other love triangles.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
I think perhaps because it just wasn't, like, traditionally love, you know? Like, Amir was just like, okay, I gotta get married, so I'm getting married. Zuha was doing it to see if Anvar would have a reaction, and Anvar didn't know. Like, it was a complicated love triangle, to say the least. Yeah. It was a triangle that I think no one understood they were in a triangle of, you know, except for Zuha, if you think about it.
Yeah, I can get that. It's just like, I feel like maybe love triangle is like maybe the one in Legend one. I feel like that's also a good love triangle as well.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Not, you know, bug me.
I feel that too. Yeah. I loved the stories of Anvar's childhood. And I think it was a good comparison, like, once we started to get more of like how hard Safwa's life was growing up. Like, it was so jarring to go from, oh, I'm laughing at Anvar downloading porn and stuff onto his brother's laptop so he could, like, steal his suit and go to prom and, you know, like, get everybody off his back for a little bit. Like, that was so funny. And then to immediately transition back into Safwa's chapters, and she's, like, she's 12 and her brother's dying and... you know, her dad is taken in by the Americans and things like that. It was like, whoa, okay, to 180.
It's a contrast. It's a contrast in the tone.
Definitely. And so I think it really added to me, like, that feeling of how are these two meeting eventually? Because I was like, that's obviously what's going to happen. I know maybe you read the back of the book. I don't read backs of books. I like being surprised. So I was like, I'm sure they're going to meet, but perhaps they won't. You know, you never know what. Maybe it's just like a commentary on like how different realities are for people. But obviously it was that. But I was like, they're going to meet at some point. And I don't think it's Anvar going to Afghanistan. Like, I don't think it's that. So I was like, okay, the background on the cover is San Francisco. So I'm like, Safwa's got to get to SF somehow, you know? Like, I'm like, how is this happening? Like, what, where are we going with this? But I think it was in such a good way because it was one of those things where, though I predicted, not predicted, I got all the little hints that were being dropped for me to understand later. You know what I mean? Like, her dad is Dr. Youssef and, you know, all these things. I got those hints. So I really felt like, oh my God, what is going to happen? Like, I couldn't predict necessarily what else was going to happen except for the things we got hints for, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'll admit that I already knew, like, generally they would meet because I actually had to listen to a podcast about this book.
Oh, really?
I think it was a long time ago. I think back in 2021. Heard a podcast about this book, and that's why I first heard about this book, and then I never got around to reading it.
Oh, fun.
But I did forget about a lot of plot details, so except for one plot detail right at the end. But other than that, I was like, wait, what's happened? I do know that generally Safwa and Anvar meet. I don't know how, but somehow they meet. So that was interesting to dive into without, you know, with the podcast in the back of my mind. But also, once they were at the apartment building, and then it's like, oh, the Trinity Gardens. And then it's like, oh, okay, now they're both here.
Yeah. When I was finally like, oh, okay, all the aunties are gossiping about Anvar being a failure. I was like, oh, we're going to get them to meet soon, or at least they're going to be in the same place. You know, I was getting pretty excited. Sorry, Anvar, but I loved also, I really just thought that the way, like, I loved that in between the sections, we would get, like, a little quote from Anvar's grandmother.
Yes.
And it
passed away.
I know, Nani John, I'm sorry. She was the best. She was so funny.
It was sad.
I thought, like, the way Anvar's dialogue, like inner monologue was written, was so funny. Like, I just thought he was funny. I know, like, the whole thing was nobody thinks he's funny. I was like, he's funny. No, I think he's real funny. And I think it's sometimes it's so hard for authors to write two different character perspectives in a way that, like, it's easy to differentiate between them when you're reading. But I thought this was so well done.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, they both had
their voices were so different. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Definitely. Exactly.
And Anwar's voice is like, I was laughing quite a bit.
Me too.
After a little bit.
You know, a little chuckle here and there. I just thought he was funny. Yeah. I was, obviously we knew from the beginning of each of their chapters in the very beginning of the book, like something goes wrong. And like Safwa saying like she killed her brother or something like that.
I know. I was like, whoa, wait, what happened here?
Yeah, I'm like, what's going on?
Did she literally kill her brother, or was it like an accident? What happened?
Yeah, and like the contrast, right, of Anwar's being like, I killed Mikey, and you're like, oh my god, who's Mikey? And then it's the goat, right? Like, okay. Like, we think it's going to be something funny, and then it transitions into Safwa's chapter, and you're like, oh, what's going on? I, you know, it's so hard, I think, to look in on a family situation from the outside. Like, it infuriated me so much how could continue to like protect her dad, but at the end of the day, that's not my dad, right? So like, yeah. That's not my blood. That's I mean, well, technically it wasn't hers either if you think about it, but
it's complicated. I feel
it's
like those
very complicated,
those kind of dynamics between the abusers and the people they abuse, it is complex. And it's just like, especially when it's your family, whether it's biological or it's your family who's just been taking care of you, your guardians.
Right.
It's complex. A lot of strands, strings to untangle.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like maybe it's making me feel multiple conflicted feelings here.
Yes. Well, and also we know like he blames her for her brother Fahd dying, being left alone, and da da da. Right. Yeah. And when he said, like, it should have been you, I was like, damn.
Yeah. That was like, wow, just really just bringing in the harshness here, the brutality.
Yeah, for real. And then it's like this, you know, when, like, that chapter after Safwa leaves Fahd with Dr. Youssef, right? Then it like immediately goes into we see Anwar's own life kind of having basically his first sense of actual struggle, right? Which is like Zuha's late on her period and she's like, oh shit, right? And there's this like, he uses his like voice perhaps a bit too much in the local newspaper or his like college newspaper.
Yeah,
sure. It just starts this argument with him and Zuha, and it was kind of like she asked him like, don't do that, and he was like, but I'm right. And it was very much like foreshadowing later, right, where when he is telling his brother Amir like, don't mention this issue with, you know, Safwa coming in, or Azza at that time coming in really injured from her dad, and then he's like, well, that was the right thing to do, when he tells Abu about Azza being potentially in a relationship and things like that. Like, it was very much like, oh, you saw how this worked for you later, and then the exact same thing, like karma almost coming back to you later.
It is that self-righteous behavior with from the beginning to end. And I would admit, like, and Amir is definitely also pretty self-righteous like that as well.
Oh, yeah.
And he was definitely quite a bit.
Well, yeah, and I think, like, that's also part of being in the head of, like, the younger brother, right? Like, an older sibling, younger sibling dynamic is always going to have an amount of you're bugging me, but truly nothing bugged me about Amir more than that in the end, because he did think he was doing the right thing. I get it from that, but It was very much giving, like, I'm saying this because I know it's kind of going to, like, fuck up something with my little brother, you know? The way he was like, oh, I told him also probably you guys are in some kind of relationship.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, why do you have to throw that extra detail then? And even instead of the narration, I think you mentioned, like, oh, like, he's got a whole smile on or something like that.
Like, yeah, like, oh, bro, come on. With no thought of, like, what would happen beyond that. Okay, let's ad break real quick because we're about halfway. Before we move on to discuss the rest of the bad Muslim discount, let's listen to a quick word about the brand sponsoring today's episode. All right, let's continue the conversation. So I guess, like, we can move into talking about everything that starts to happen in the end. Obviously, Safwa gets to America, and it is not without suffering for her.
It is suffering. Yeah, it is suffering.
Yeah, it is not without suffering. Let's be clear. I hated Case, which I know was the point. It was so frustrating, but also so nice to see. What was the name? Mr. Body, the landlord.
Yes. Oh, I loved when he came in with little cricket bat and just like to, and was warning him off.
Yes, like even when they're all sitting down to sign leases, and he notices how uncomfortable. Like, I guess we should switch to saying Azza now. I don't know.
it does say Azza.
It's Azza at this point in the book. So Safwa switches her name. Coming into the U.S., but he can see how uncomfortable Azza is, and he's like, "Nah, I'm not letting this guy live here. It's gonna be an issue."
Yeah, I mean, I think he was even like, "Oh, like, I wouldn't have let him in if it wasn't for Azza."
Yeah.
If he wasn't with the Dragon.
Absolutely. And it was one of those things where I was like, oh my God, for the first time I can breathe like a sigh of relief for Azza, you know? Like, damn.
Yeah, she has someone on her side.
Yeah.
And he has some amusing moments, you know, when he's just talking with the tenants. And even like when I love little moments when he's trying to explain, like, oh, you know, I know it's kind of like bad conditions here, like you got the mold or other crap going on, but I'll try to fix it up. I'll try to get the money to fix it up for you.
Yeah, he just was so silly. I loved him. I just thought he was a silly little man. And when like he intervenes when Case is trying to like break down Uzza's door, and he's like, get out of here, bro, basically. And I love that we finally got that moment where he's like, you know, there's a lawyer who lives in this building, who's going to be at this like youth group kind of event. You should go talk to him. And I was like, oh my God, we're finally getting the moment that we've been waiting for. I was very much like, are they supposed to fall in love? Like, I wasn't sure where this was going to go yet, right? Because they hadn't even met. I was like, there was so much in the beginning that I just feel like, I don't know, like, is this gonna be his, like, why did we get if she wasn't gonna come back later, I guess was my feeling.
Yeah,
but I was like, I don't know, like, Azza deserves something good, but is Anvar the right kind of good for her? Like, I don't know, right?
Well, I was never truly rooting for them to get together, actually. I just wasn't sure. Yeah, I mean, I was just reading this, and I was just like, oh, interesting. Like, I know, I could see a path for the two of them being in a relationship together, a romantic relationship,
mm-hmm.
in the end. But then it's like, I don't know. Again, just I was never truly rooting for the two of them, personally.
Yeah, the only reason I thought maybe they would fall in love was because someone asked something. I can't remember which character asked whom, but there was, like, a discussion of how Azza could be safe within the U.S., like, regarding potential deportation, especially in the 2016 political climate. But and I thought, because the response obviously was she could marry a U.S. citizen, I was like, oh, is there going to be a push for her Anvar's brother or Anvar? Like, I wasn't sure, right?
I was thinking
what's the path here? Because I would assume since they were able to leave the country and come back, that they probably got their papers at a young age.
Yeah, I feel like that conversation, if I recall correctly, may have been with Abu.
That's what I was thinking. Okay, that's what I was thinking. I wasn't positive, but yeah. I was. Yeah, it was on my mind.
Yeah, it turned out not to be the two of them, not Azar and Anvar.
Right. But I did think it was interesting to watch that, like, Azar have her only in, like, freedom. Like, the only thing she's really, really choosing for herself is to hang out with Anvar and sleep with Anvar and whatever, which is, like, good for her. Like,
yeah, take some agency.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a taste of what she could have, which I think was both, like, bittersweet in the moment. Yeah, I thought, like, the tie-ins to the political climate throughout were really... Well, one, they were important to the story, obviously, to really understand, like, political unrest. And
gave me a shell to read about that crap.
Yeah.
Like, and also, oh, no, you're bringing me back to some bad memories.
Yeah, I was like, oof. But it was also, I think, especially because I feel like this book was super powerful. Like, non-Muslim people, right? I feel like... it was really palatable to have a breakdown of things, but not in a way where explain anything. Like, the author was willing to explain, like, oh, this is this holiday, this is like this and this and this. So it was one of those things where I think, oh yeah, if you didn't know certain things, it's really easy to grasp. And so I think it was super important that in a palatable book like that, you're actively taking the opportunity to be like, look how fucking horrible the United States was.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know, like, there's just so much, especially the climate that the book is set in 2016 and stuff like that. There's so much talk all the time about things that happened, but never in the way that they really happened. So I think especially within the US, there's just such a willingness to paint things in such a better light and a more positive light than it ever actually was. So I yeah. I really did appreciate the tie-ins to, like, the US's role in the political unrest in, you know, in Baghdad, in Karachi, everything. So I thought it was really, really interesting, and it was also like, it was really, I don't know, to the way that they were intricately woven into the book was very cool. Maybe cool is the wrong word there, but, you know.
It's interesting, you know, just like, yeah, the political attitudes, and we get a mention of, you know, of Trump and mm-hmm.
And the, like, stress of that election.
Yes, the stress of that election, the Muslim ban gets mentioned a few times, and yeah. Even just the whole general attitude of distrusting the American government, and
yeah.
How, like, even when we have the Department of Homeland Security agents,
we
have that tale come in towards the end, and even just kind of like the mistrust of them, and just being like, you know, how much trust should we really invest in them?
Exactly, yeah. And,
because you know how much America loves to just loves to punish, you know, people who are not white.
Especially
Muslims, and, you know, paint the whole terrorist stereotype over them.
Yeah, and, which I thought, I genuinely, like, when it was revealed that Azza was trying for terrorism.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, we're going there?
Yeah. I would, even that accent, though, as much as I did not care for Case at all, even that was like, okay, wait, maybe... framing him for terrorism, it's just a tad too much, even for an asshole like him.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, that's one option to choose, I guess. I just thought, like, it was very, obviously, like, scary to read how, like, Azza was so sure, like, this is a surefire plan for now, and da-da-da. And then, like, the second Anvar realizes what's going on and they have a second to talk in private, he's like, you fucked up.
Yep, he's just like, what the hell? You're forcing these adults? What the hell? Why are you doing this?
And he's like, yeah, he's like, these journals are fake. And then he's like, and where did you get the terrorism magazine? Right? Like the ISIS magazine. And she's like, I bought it. He's like, has he even touched these? She's like, no. It's like, I'm stressed for you, girl. I'm stressed for you. And
Don't trust the plan like a heist or anything, because I don't think you can actually pin down all the details.
No, it was like an idea. I'm not going to say a good idea, but it was like an idea.
An idea, a concept.
But the execution was not done correctly.
Not tight at all.
I did appreciate, though, like, that Anvar was like, I'm going to help you get away. You just need to run. Like, you just need to run, and I'll figure out, you know, kind of keep them off your tail in the long run. But the pain that I felt, like, when he also decides to tell Case, like, obviously, I like we said, like, he wasn't a terrorist. Like, he didn't need.
Yeah.
And it could have been very bad. I totally. Coming. Why didn't he? Like, what? Like, this could have been.
I know.
Like, no time. He gave her no time at all to escape before snitching.
I'm just like, Anvar, he's tense. He feels like he has to give the information to Case right away, because, like, just in case, like, the agents move in quickly, I guess, you know? Because, and you know, if Case was captured, and it's like, oh, he's seen as a terrorist, like, he could die. Like, the government could just kill him off, you know, to send him off to, you know, what was it, the extrajudicial killing, you know, as they call it.
Right, or, yeah. You
know, enhanced interrogation, which is torture.
Yeah, you know? Oh, it could have been really fucking bad. I was just like, dude, give her... Like, come on, she got to pack her whole life.
Oh, it's just so stressful.
It was so stressful. And the moment that, like, she's literally leave and she runs into Abu and he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, no, 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 no. No, no, no.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Because, well, and you know what? I was really confused, like, the terrorism framing. I was, like, confused why she was like, why? I was like, is she going to kill Case? Like, that's just going to ruin her whole situation here. I was like, there's no way that's her plan. I was like, why does she want a gun? Like, why does she think everybody should get... I was so confused. I, like, there... It was not in my brain that she was going to try to frame him as a terrorist.
Yeah, it's just... It's a plan of hers that she really tried to concoct.
And then through all of this, like, there's the engagement party and... There's Zuha and Anvar having their moments, and you're like, what is... There's so much going on right now.
Yeah, just so much. And I am actually glad that Zuha and Anvar do end up together in the end.
Because
I was like, yeah, you know, I like it if these two ended up together, you know, even as messy as they can be.
Yeah. I think, like, they could, after all that time apart, still have those feelings for each other. That's saying something, you know?
Yeah, because you're, like, in his early 30s, right? Or something like that?
I think so. I mean, he's a lawyer, so I think probably.
It's something like that. It goes over, like, multiple years.
Yeah.
This book.
Yeah, it's, like, their whole lives, essentially.
Yeah, just your life. And, which I did, also, I will say, I felt like the cover makes it look like a YA novel. Did you ever think of that? The cover?
You know what? I went to look on Goodreads afterwards because I wanted to see what other people were thinking of this book. And so many people said that they thought it was a YA novel as well.
See? Yeah, it was like me too. And I was looking through the Goodreads reviews and I was like, wait. So other people also thought, okay, maybe this is a YA novel. But then it's like, oh no, it is marketed towards adults. Even though the cover just kind of has this bit of a cartoonish YA look to it, towards this.
It's not like that. Like, Anvar looks like a man. Like, he's got like a 5 o'clock shadow. I was like,
I feel like they could be teenagers. Honestly,
I see what you're saying, but I guess it didn't cross my mind. I was just like, oh, that's a cool cover.
Yeah,
giving woman author. That's why I thought it was by a woman.
Okay, yeah, so we got different vibes off of the cover.
Yeah, for sure.
In any case, it's not like that that heavily impacted my reading experience. It was just like, oh, it's just a YA novel. And then once I found out it wasn't, I'm like, oh, okay. I'll just keep vibing with this. And I did. And I do want to comment on how, and I didn't realize this until I read the other reviews, but I have seen reviews criticize this book for representation of Muslims, specifically how it's like, you can interpret the book as being like, oh, Muslims who are not devout are the good ones, while Muslims who are devout, they're kind of like being vilified in this book, which, I don't know, like, I'm not Muslim, so I can't give a personal perspective on that. It was, like, I can see how you can get that interpretation from the book. Mm-hmm. Personally, it didn't affect my reading experience. I feel like this was a pretty good book, in my opinion. But I can see the take, though.
Yes, I also saw those, because I knew, that's what I was mainly looking for when I went to go check the reviews, because I know, like, that's usually, I feel, an issue, because I feel like there's not a lot of, like, just devout, like, Muslim representation in books in, like, modern, or contemporary, rather, fiction books. So I feel like, I feel like I knew that there was going to be commentary like that in the reviews. I do feel like that was the point. Like, it's called the Bad Muslim Discount. I just thought that was the point, right? Like, it was supposed to show, like, they think they're very right because they're the quote-unquote bad Muslims. I thought I thought that was the point. But I understand, like, to see.
Yeah.
It's very consistently, this is the way that I feel we see Muslim representation in books. I see a lot of the times it's like, oh, well, I drink still and I do this. And, you know, breaking the rules to make it, like, not so strict.
Yeah.
So I get where they're.
Yeah, and I feel like it also speaks to, I feel like, representation on a wider scale. How I feel like we do still need more books that center Muslim characters,
mm-hmm.
specifically in, like, the protagonist roles, or just roles where they're not being, like, off to the side or being seen as, like, the terrorist stereotypes, you know?
Definitely.
Just fluffing out as humans, because they're humans, you know? Like everyone else.
Yeah. Were you absolutely fucking terrified when back into his apartment and, like, you know, the table with the checkers set is tossed? I was like, well, that was really symbolic, first of all, right? And him walking into his room and Abu's just sitting on the bed with a fucking revolver in his hand. I was like,
frightened. I was frightened, and also that's the one plot point where, when I listened to the podcast I said earlier, that was the plot point where I was like, oh, I know this happens. So once I saw
that, was I knew I never saw coming. I was like, oh shit, like but I didn't think it was gonna be like this.
Yep. Well, I knew it was coming, but it's not like that. That lessened my fear.
Right.
No.
Right.
My fear was still heightened.
It was so scary. And I feel like that whole scene was really well written. Anvar tied it back to a quote where he's like, I don't have fear because Allah will protect him. And Abu was kind of like, oh, shit. well, damn, why'd you have to say that? But then we don't even know what would have happened necessarily, even though Anvar says, like, in that moment, I'm sure he's not going to kill me. Like, he's not going to do it. But we'll never know because cops show up.
Yep. It was the DHS. One of the Asians, someone came in and shot Abu.
Right, which was crazy, and I was like, that's really traumatizing also, and imagining, like, at least Azza got away, but the fact that she, like, doesn't even know, right, that happened, like, she's,
I know, maybe
somewhere.
I know, it's, like, because, she goes off, and I think maybe goes off to Canada.
Yeah, that was my thought, too, because they were like, it's snowing, and I was like, okay, snow.
And so she's taking refuge up there, but then it's like, oh, yeah, she has that... probably thinking, like, oh, maybe, he is alive, you know, able to take shelter somewhere.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. I also thought, you know, after that we get like Anwar sleeping at the mosque and then his mom coming to pick him up. And him being like, oh, why didn't you send dad? And she's like, I'm not a bad mother. Like, and then they have their true heart to heart, which is like, okay, yeah, they really needed that. And
yeah, that moment made the relationship for me.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, okay, this solidified a lot of things. And you know, Abu's funeral passes, and then there's like that kind of like in his little depression room at his parents' house, like upstairs. And Zuha comes up and just lets herself in, and he's kind of like, well, you didn't knock. Like, I'm not seeing anybody. And she's like, yeah, I didn't knock on purpose. And she's like, look. And she has the ring that his mom gave to her as a proposal for, like, on his behalf. And I was like, aw.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
That's sweet.
And I'm so glad we got one last chapter from now Zara.
Definitely.
I was like, literally, my note was slay. Like, she did it. Like, after everything, like, she's out. She's, you know, doing her own thing. She's where it snows. She works in a bakery. There's a cute guy named Henry is trying to get her to be interested in him. Like, she's having the thing that she was like, you guys have so much freedom and you're not using it. Like, you're not making those choices on your own behalf. You're not, you know, what if Zuha marries the wrong brother, you know?
Yeah.
You have the option. You have the freedom to make that choice. So do it. So I thought it was very full circle for her to come around and realize, like, you know what? Maybe Henry's not bad. I was like, oh, that's cool. We got, like, it's so full circle.
Yes. And it was nice to watch him kind of, like, awkwardly flirt with her.
Definitely.
Yeah, just to know that, you know, this path can be laid out in the future. Something, you know, something, you know, calm and, you know, and loving for Zara.
Which she absolutely deserves, because boy, did she go through it.
Yes. And I also do appreciate when Anwar's mom is kind of like being like, yes, I was right. See, when once Trump won the
election. Oh, yeah. Yep. That was so funny. I was like, oh, it was bringing back all the stress I had around that election. That was my first election that I was able to vote in, and it was not fun.
That election is just like, oh, that's the thing where it's like, oh, it shadows your faith in any American institutions. And it's just like, you can feel that radiating throughout this book, where it's like, hey, you know what? Don't be so naive and just blindly trust America.
Yep. on time, how would you rate this? So we rate on a 5-star scale, and I'll do math, I guess, in the end and average it out. But what on a 5-star scale, what would you give this book?
I would give this book. I'm stuck between a 3.75 and a 4 stars.
Okay. What's your reasoning?
My reasoning is that I feel like this is. This is a pretty good book. I was really able to just, you know, dive into the story and the characters. And again, as a non-Muslim reader, I feel like this book, she also did a good job of making this accessible to me and other non-Muslim readers.
Yeah.
And just the characters and how they're fleshed out and the dynamics they have and the political climate to take them. And then I am also taking the Goodreads reviews, and, like, you know, I do have it hanging in the back of my mind, even though that's, like, it didn't personally affect me. I can see how other people do have that take on how the Muslim representation is handled in this book.
Definitely.
So I do have that in the back of my mind. You know what, I'll bump it up. I'll do 4 stars. I'll just do a solid 4 stars for this.
I think that's really fair. Sorry. I think that's really fair. I gave it a 4.5, like 4.5 when I finished it. I think, like, I got about 25% of the way in, I read the rest of it. Like, I didn't stop. I couldn't put it down. I thought it was really entertaining. I thought it had me on my toes, despite, like, the little things I picked up on. There was a lot I did not see coming. And I really enjoy when I can get, like, bamboozled by not seeing it coming. Like, okay, I gotta give you a point for that. Like, the characters I enjoy stories. hallway. I'm sorry. I was like, what the fuck was that sound? Anyways, I really enjoyed this. So, yeah, I think I'm going to end on a 4.5. Between the two of us, a 4.25, which I think is a pretty fair rating for this book. I thought it was good. I thought it was fun. I would almost even read it again sometime to pick up on things that I'd
catch. Ooh, nice.
I'm sure if I caught some hints, perhaps there were others, you know, for everything else that was going to happen.
It was engaging me the whole time. I read this in one day.
Just
yesterday.
Me? Same. I finished it at 10:30 last night before I went to bed. Which I feel like every single time we do a podcast together, Arthur, I literally am finishing it like so. Pretty funny to know that we were doing the same, but I really appreciate you reading this in a week's notice and agreeing to come on the pod. I think that's where we're gonna leave it for this episode. Before we part, we just like thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, I encourage you to leave a review on whichever platform you're listening on, if applicable. If you have any further questions regarding topics discussed throughout the episode, feel free to join our Hardcover Hose Discord server via the link in the show notes, or send us an email at hardcoverhosepod@gmail.com. Feel free to recommend books to cover in future episodes as well. As always, I am Sam Cabrera-Dixon. Arthur, go ahead.
And I'm Audra Howell, host of Two Cents Critic. Make sure you check that out.
Yep. Oh, plug all your things now. Plug your things. Okay. Do it.
Okay, so my socials, you can find a podcast on Twitter and Instagram at 2_CentsCritic. My personal accounts on Twitter, GoodPod, StoryGraph, Letterboxd, and TikTok at Arthur_Ant18. I'm on Goodreads at Audra Howell. If you want to email me, you can reach me at email2centscritic@yahoo.com. My blog, you can check that out at 2centscritic.com. And, you know, also make sure you can do all the reviews and ratings and all that crap for Two Cents Critic as well. You know, wherever you listen to it, you know, on Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, all of that good stuff.
Slay. And this has been an episode of Hardcover Hose. If you enjoyed this listening experience and you'd like to follow along with us next time, the next books on our to-be-read list are The Jasmine Throne and The Oleander Sword by Tasha Suri. Until we meet again, enjoy your reading. Thank you, Arthur.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Talk to you later.